Hello, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and I'm going to be talking to you on this podcast about provisions. That's FRS 12, the general standard on provisions, contingent liabilities, and contingent assets. And before we start, I'd like to point out to you that this is a standard that's under review. It's currently the subject of an exposure draft from the International Accounting Standards Board. And once they've published an exposure draft and created a new international standard, it may follow that we end up updating our UK standard in line with that. So provisions, what's a provision? Well, a provision has a definition. It's defined as a liability of uncertain timing or amount. So it's a liability, but the timing or the value is uncertain. And you recognise a provision when three things are present. So there's three things that need to be present before we recognise the provision. I'm going to focus on the first one of these because that's the most important one. So the first requirement is that an entity has a present legal or constructive obligation as a result of a past event. And I'm going to break that down into three. So it's got a present legal obligation, first of all. A legal obligation is something that the law commits it to. I'm going to use an example of an oil company. Let's say the oil company was drilling off the coast of Scotland, and its planning permission required it to reinstate the seabed once it finished its drilling. That would mean it had a legal obligation. As soon as it built that oil platform, it would have a legal obligation to reinstate the seabed. What about a constructive obligation then? Well, a constructive obligation is where you're not legally bound to do something, but perhaps you've committed yourself as an organisation to doing it. So let's take that oil company again. And let's say it was drilling off the coast of a fictitious country somewhere called Stevie Land. And that fictitious country didn't have any planning requirements for when that oil company had finished using its drilling platform. But let's say the oil company had an environmental policy that was published on its website that committed it to always acting in the best environmental way, always reinstating the seabed once it finished its drilling. That would give it a constructive obligation, and it would be committed in almost the same way as if it had a legal requirement to do so. The other part of this first requirement is that the obligation must be as a result of a past event. That means that the event must have already occurred. So let me give you an example of that. Let's say we were running a bus company. Let's say there was a change in the law requiring buses to run on a new kind of environmentally friendly fuel. But let's say the change in the law didn't happen until 6 months after our year end. So we know the law is coming in, but we won't be required to follow it until 6 months after our current year end. Would that count as a provision? Well, the answer is no, it wouldn't, because the past event hasn't happened. Although the legislation has been published, it doesn't legally come into force until 6 months after our year end. Therefore, there's no past event and we couldn't make a provision in our accounts. So that first requirement for a provision is quite detailed. There's quite a lot in it. What are the other two requirements? Well, the second one, it must be probable that an outflow of resources embodying economic benefits required to settle the obligation is present. And the last one, a reliable estimate can be made of the level of the obligation. So the second and third requirements there are fairly straightforward. A probable outflow of resources and a reliable estimate being capable of being made. So that's what a provision is. What about the level of the provision, the size of the provision, the amount of the provision? Well, the rule is that the amount recognised shall be the entity's best estimate of the expenditure required to settle the obligation. You take into account all the risks and uncertainties involved, and you would also discount the provision to its present value, where the difference between discounting and not discounting would be material. So, for example, if we were that oil company that I was talking about previously, and we were going to be drilling in the oil field for the next 20 years, then we wouldn't actually need to reinstate the seabed for another 20 years' time. And it would be likely that if we discounted the cost of reinstating the seabed back to now, and that would make a significant difference to the amount of the provision compared to if we hadn't discounted it. We must also review the level of the provision at each balance sheet date. And if there are any changes in our estimates, then we should change the level of the provision to reflect our best current estimate. I'm going to give you a little example now. Let's say I had a company that received planning permission to open a waste recycling centre. And let's say the process is going to cause some site contamination. And the permission to operate the site runs for 25 years. And at the end of this time, the operator of the site is required to reinstate and landscape the site. And let's say the operator of the site is also required to pay for the cleanup of any contamination that it causes during the time that the site is being used. So, let's think about it. There are two costs there. First, there's the cost of reinstating the site. And secondly, there's the cost of the cleanup operation. So the question to think about is, what provision should this company make on the day that it starts to run the site? Well, first of all, can we make a provision for the cost of cleaning up the site? The answer to that is no, because we haven't actually started contaminating the site yet. So there is no past event that's occurred. Secondly, can we make a provision for the costs of reinstating the site? The answer to that is yes, we can. Because as we've already built the site, we've already committed ourselves to reinstating the site and doing the landscaping work that was there as a requirement of our planning permission. And what we'd have to do with that cost is we would probably have to discount it because that cost won't be incurred for another 25 years. There are some specific pieces of guidance in the standard on specific provisions, and I just want to look at those three pieces of guidance now. The first thing the standard says is that provisions shall not be recognised for future operating losses. Now, this is particularly relevant if one company purchases another company. And when the purchasing company is trying to work out the goodwill and it's looking at the fair value of the separable net assets in the business that it's acquired, then the purchasing company cannot make a provision for future operating losses in that acquired company. If it were allowed to do that, it would, of course, reduce the fair value of the assets being acquired by making that provision, and it would increase the goodwill figure. It would also mean, and this is probably the reason why purchasing companies would want to do this, it would mean that they would have a provision in their group accounts that they could then potentially release in future years. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make provisions for future operating losses. So the standard is restrictive there. Secondly, on onerous contracts, the standard is much less restrictive. The standard says that where we have an onerous contract, the present obligation under the contract shall be recognised as a provision. So you can recognise provisions for onerous contracts. What's an onerous contract? Well, let's say that we were leasing a building and we decided that we no longer wished to use that building. In fact, we moved to a new building and we started running our business from the new building. Unfortunately, the lease over the old building is still running, and let's say it's got another 2 years still left to run. So we're going to have to pay those lease payments over the next 2 years, and yet we're not going to be getting any value out of that building because we've already moved to a new one. What we're allowed to do is we're allowed to take the costs of that lease and any other associated costs and create a provision in the accounts straight away, as soon as we move to our new building. There is a proviso on the level of the provision that we can make here, and that is that if we believe that we'll be able to sublet the property to another party, that we reduce the level of the provision accordingly. Finally, the third piece of specific advice is on restructuring provisions. A restructuring provision would be a provision for perhaps a closure of a business. And that closure might involve making people redundant. The rule here is that restructuring provisions are only recognised when an entity has created a detailed formal plan for the restructuring and it's raised a valid expectation in those affected that it will carry out the restructuring by starting to implement it or by announcing its main features. So the rule here is, yes, you can make provisions for restructuring, but only where you've got a proper plan in place and you've at the very least announced that plan. Otherwise, you will not be able to make the provision. So, in summary then, you can create a provision in general terms where you have a present obligation as a result of a past event, and that present obligation will lead to a probable outflow of funds, and that outflow of funds can be reliably estimated. In those circumstances, you may make a provision. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is a subject area that's under review by the International Standards Board. And although this is a UK standard, it usually follows that when international standards change, our UK standards also change. The International Standards Board has recently published an exposure draft revising its rules on provisions, changing the name of provisions to non-financial liabilities, and also removing the idea of contingent assets and contingent liabilities from that standard. You may like to watch out for future UK exposure drafts in this area. Thanks for listening. My name's Steve Carlisle. Bye-bye.